The following is an Audio Renaissance presentation.
Hello, I'm Bill Hartley, president of Audio Renaissance Tapes, and I'm very pleased to welcome you to our presentation of Creative Dreaming by Dr. Patricia Garfield. This recording and the booklet that accompanies it are based on Dr. Garfield's best-selling book, Creative Dreaming, augmented by additional material from her extensive dream research. And her research is extensive. As you'll learn from the information and exercises presented here, she brings to this program a background in academic and scientific research and experimentation, historical and anthropological investigation, practical experience as a therapist, and probably the world's largest personal collection of recorded and analyzed dreams. And now, to guide you on your adventure in personal discovery and creativity, may I introduce Dr. Patricia Garfield.
Have you ever found yourself awake in the cool, quiet hours of early morning? Your heart racing, your body tense, shaking and shivering from a nightmare? Bad dreams are common experiences in our society. We usually feel relieved to have escaped to the waking world. But by escaping to the waking world, you're missing a great opportunity. Next time, instead of waking up from your bad dreams, try staying asleep and changing them. When you wake up from a nightmare, you leave the fear-producing images behind to pursue you on another night. By confronting them instead, you can conquer them. And you can learn about yourself and grow. You can actually build into your dream world friendly images that will help you, awake or asleep. These dream friends can provide you with solutions to problems, with marvelous creative products, with novel ideas, and sometimes magnificent resolutions. Now, it's not necessary to have nightmares to launch this adventure of changing dream life. Dreams are all you need, and everybody has them 4 or 5 times every night. Unless you're ingesting heavy drugs or alcohol, those of you who say you don't dream are simply not remembering your dreams. But by the time you've listened to this tape, you'll have learned how to improve your dream recall. And once you can recall your dreams, you can begin to shape them. In fact, this is how creative dreaming differs from ordinary dreaming. Dreams are multidimensional experiences. On one level, they're physiological events. The pulse becomes fast and irregular, the breathing rate changes, large muscles remain limp, while small muscles in the face or fingers twitch sporadically. The brain waves change from the slow, regular rhythm of deep sleep to the faster, irregular rhythm of dreaming. On another level, dreams are pictures of our personal feelings. They're attempts to cope with current events in our life. At yet another level, our dreams contain universal images, a tuning in on events in time and space far removed from our personal concerns. Creative dreaming is purposely using your dreams to solve your problems, to learn about yourself, to draw upon creative resources within yourself, and eventually to transform yourself. As you succeed in establishing creative dreaming, you'll be achieving a lifetime victory. You'll start a positive growth cycle in which you'll function more and more as a whole unit of humanity, part of which operates while awake and part while dreaming, with each supporting and promoting the growth of the other. You'll have greater resource to produce useful and beautiful things, to express yourself, and to contribute to society. My collection of dreams started when I was 14 and now spans almost 40 years. Containing more than 20,000 dreams, it's probably the largest and most complete record around. It was through my mother's interest in dreams and the works of Freud and Jung that my curiosity was sparked. family conversations on the topic when I was 13 and 14 led me to feel that dreams were important and valuable sources of self-understanding. For this reason, I paid attention to them and worked with them. Your attitude toward your dreams is the first step in creative dreaming. Start with the assumption that it's possible to use your dreams in a way that will make life better. Determine to accept and value any dream fragment, no matter how trivial, silly, or scary it seems. Later on, you'll see how valuable even tiny dreamlets can be. The first specific method that I advise is dream incubation. Dream incubation is the simplest level of dream control, in which you plan the general content of your dream. That's what ancient people were doing when they visited special dream temples dedicated to a particular god or goddess for the purpose of obtaining a useful dream from that deity. Today, people may pray before going to sleep or simply think about a problem, hoping that an answer will come during the night. In a similar manner, you can request of yourself a specific dream using a simple phrase and repeating it as you drift off to sleep. You can increase the chances of creating the dream you want by doing as the ancients did, by preparing for sleep as if it were a ritual. Choose a time and place where you won't be distracted from the desired subject of your dream, a place where you feel peaceful and rested. Choose your dream topic. Then clearly formulate your intended dream. Put your wish into a short, simple phrase, such as, "Tonight I fly." Repeat this phrase to yourself like a lullaby. It's important that your body be in a deeply relaxed state when you present yourself suggestions for the intended dream. Visualize the desired dream as though it's happening while you're in that drowsy, relaxed state prior to sleep. Imagining a conversation with a previous dream figure just before sleep can also help induce dreams. Once you've learned to induce dreams, you can request anything you want from them. Perhaps, like the ancient dreamers, you may wish to consult your dream state about your physical condition. You may even be able to draw upon the power of your own body to heal itself, to activate your immune system, as ancient dreamers did. Or you can discover creative products within your own dream. You can deliberately induce dreams of artistic creations or dreams that solve problems. Your dreams can become your own muse, your source of inspiration. Present your dream mind with a request for a creative product. You will be drawing upon the vast resource of the material in your mind that was recorded throughout your lifetime, recombining it into an original form, and finally presenting it to yourself in a dream. Creative dreaming happens in two ways. In the first, dreamers observe the creative product in its totality in the dream. They may see a finished painting. In the second, the dream provides the mood or the idea from which the creative product evolves in a waking state. They may wake up with a strong emotion that they want to express in art. Sometimes creative dreaming happens spontaneously. For instance, William Blake, the English artist, engraver, and poet, was searching for a less expensive means to engrave his illustrated songs. In a dream of his dead younger brother, Robert, he saw him appear and teach him a highly original process of copper engraving. Giuseppe Tartini, the Italian violinist, dreamt that he sold his soul to the devil, who proceeded to play very unusual music upon his violin. When he awoke, Tartini imitated the music he had heard in the dream and so composed the Devil's Sonata. Friedrich Kekulé, the German chemist, struggled for years to find the molecular structure of benzene. The answer came to him in a dream of a snake grasping its tail. He awoke with a realization that the structure of benzene is a closed carbon ring, a discovery that revolutionized chemistry. In all these cases, the creative product came to the dreamer spontaneously, usually after the dreamer had been immersed in this subject for some time. These dreamers' solutions were unplanned. Dreamers can, however, plan and stimulate creative dreams. Robert Louis Stevenson, for example, used to put himself to sleep by setting up tales of his own concoction solely for his own pleasure. The characters of his dreams, which he called his little people or brownies, began acting out the stories he had begun prior to sleep. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is a famous example produced by Stevenson's dream friends. As you develop skill in creative dreaming, you should occupy yourself with a subject you wish to dream about. Then, before you go to sleep, present your dream mind with a request for a specific dream. Be receptive to it during your dream and hold on to it vividly in your waking mind until you can come fully awake and record it in some form. The poet dreams poems, the violinist hears violin music, the mathematician dreams equations. You, too, can evoke creative dreams in your own area of work. In asking the dream gods or goddesses to cure some medical problem, the ancient dreamers had very specific formats of preparation that they followed: special prayers, chants, and baths. In the same way, American Indian dreamers who went on a vision quest also had a clear format. They went to an isolated place and prepared themselves with fasting and prayer. If they were lucky, they received a dream vision in which a spirit appeared and taught them specific things. American Indians expected dreams with an elaborate, detailed pattern. A would-be conjurer must have four dreams containing specific characters, such as the great turtle, in a certain setting, in a special order. The spirit guardian, who comes to the Indian in a dream, offers an unusual type of friendship, a teaching relationship. Songs taught to the American Indians by their guardian spirit in a dream are thought to have supernatural power. They were often used for curing or for protection in battle. Yet dreamers who have no belief in supernatural beings also have potent emotional responses to songs that they hear in their dreams. Dream songs and poems seem to encapsulate a piece of the dreamer's deepest sense of self. Catch hold of any dream song of your own and treasure it. Many other products of Indian culture are believed to be directly derived from dreams. Several Indian songs, dances, all sorts of cultural artifacts, drums, pipes, headdresses, patterns on pottery, jewelry, paintings, blankets, and clothing design are from dreams. Using personal dream symbols yourself may have an integrative effect on you, connecting you with your own internal source of strength. Both ancient dreamers and American Indian dreamers were offered strong rewards by their society for the right dream, and health, wealth, or power followed. In our society, there is no cultural pattern dream required, nor much reward for dreaming. However, you can give yourself the rewards for dreaming that our society does not give. Regard your dreams as important, and they will become a source of strength and assistance to you. A pair of American researchers who investigated the relationship of dreams to childbirth studied 70 women about to give birth to their first baby. They recorded the content of these women's dreams and also measured the ease or difficulty of their labor and its length. They found that the things the women dreamed about while they were pregnant were directly related to the length and efficiency of their labor. The more a woman had anxious dreams of labor, the more likely she was to efficiently deliver her firstborn child. These researchers think that the women they studied were attempting to cope with the anticipated crisis of childbirth during their sleep. after dealing with that crisis in their dreams, they could cope with it better in the waking state. Your dreams can be crucial learning experiences, too. You can prepare to deal with a life crisis by first preparing yourself in a dream. The Senoi, a remarkable primitive tribe living in the mountainous jungles of Malaysia, believe in the power of dreams. They are said to be peaceful, socially cooperative, and highly creative people. These characteristics may result from the unique way that the Senoi relate to their dreams. Anthropologists tell us that when Senoi children first begin to report dreams, their descriptions are very much like dreams of all children, frightening animals or monsters are chasing and attacking them. By the time they're adolescents, however, they have eliminated nightmares and consistently produce creative products from their dreams. Boys and girls are not considered adults until their dream characters cooperate with them and serve them in socially valuable ways. The Senoi accomplish this remarkable change, we are told, by following certain rules of dreaming. The first general rule is what I call confront and conquer danger in a dream. It's the most important. Suppose, for example, that a Senoi child reports to his parents during daily dream sharing at breakfast, "I dreamed I was chased by a tiger last night." The conversation might go something like this. "Oh, what did you do?" asked the father. "I ran as fast as I could. The tiger kept getting closer and closer. I was scared. My legs just wouldn't move any faster." "Ah," says the father, "it was good you had that dream, son. But you made a mistake in it. Tigers you see in your dreams at night can only hurt you as long as you run from them. They will continue to chase you only so long as you are afraid of them. The next time you have this dream, and you'll have it again soon, you must turn around and face the tiger. If it continues to attack you, you must fight back." "But what if it's too strong for me?" asked the son. "Call on some dream friends to help you," replies the father. "But fight by yourself until they arrive. Always counterattack a dream image that attacks you. Never let anything chase you in a dream and run from it and try to hide. Always confront the danger." In this manner, night after night, dream after dream, the parents shape the children's dreams until they learn to consistently confront and conquer danger in scary dreams. In their pleasant dreams, Senoi children are urged to advance toward pleasure, the second Senoi dream rule. Whether these are dreams of lovemaking, or flying, or any other sort of dream enjoyment, the child is instructed to relax, to move toward, and experience the pleasure fully. The third Senoi rule is always to end the dream with a positive outcome. After a dream enemy has been subdued, the parents teach the child to extract from the spirit of the conquered enemy a gift. This gift could be a poem, a story, a song, a dance, a design, a painting, a costume, something beautiful, or perhaps something useful, such as an invention or a solution to a problem. In this way, the children are trained to always awake with a creative product. Confronted with a fear-producing image, you approach, confront, conquer, and demand a gift. Confronted with a loving image, you approach, enjoy, climax, and request a gift to remember your dream lover by. In the case of falling dreams, another common nightmare, the Senoi urge the dreamer to convert fear of falling into joy of flying. "Whenever you find yourself falling in a dream," the Senoi say, "you should stay asleep. Relax. Fall gently and land gently." Whether falling or flying, the dreamer should arrive at some interesting place, learn the songs and dances of the people there, find a gift, the positive outcome, and return to the waking world with it. Lately, some dream investigators have challenged the accuracy of Senoi dream practices, saying that the original researchers were mistaken or misled. Whatever the final answer may prove to be, I find that the techniques work. For myself and my students, changing our dreams by becoming active in them has changed our lives. When dreamers use the Senoi approach to dreaming, they find that they are more and more able to take themselves out of the passive victim role and switch to becoming an active participant. When we stop being victims in our dreams, it's easier to do so in waking life too. As you control your dreams, you'll discover you have a powerful tool within yourself. You can practice overcoming your own fears, your inhibitions, and phobias within the dream. You carry within yourself a problem-solving resource available several times every night. By applying Senoi concepts of dream control, we can deliberately produce beautiful creations and solve problems while integrating our personality. If we don't run in our dream life, we won't be afraid in waking life. If we are not afraid, we are free to create. Lucid dreaming is another technique of creative dreaming. Very simply, a lucid dream is one in which you're aware that you're in a dream state. When you become lucid, you can do anything in your dream. You can fly anywhere you wish, experience lovemaking with a partner of your choice, converse with friends long dead or people unknown to you, or travel to any place in the world you choose. In general, you can use the full resource of the material stored in your mind. Lucid dreaming is more difficult to achieve than other types of dream control. Few people are aware of the possibility of becoming fully conscious during a dream. Many don't believe it can be done. Even those who have occasional lucid dreams are often not aware of the fantastic potential available to them. Let me assure you, it can be done. I've done it. I know many people who do it regularly, and it has been studied and verified by an extensive research program directed by Dr. Stephen LaBerge of Stanford University. The most common type of lucid dream occurs when you are so frightened in a dream, you realize that you're dreaming. A nightmare in which you are terrified by an old witch, for example, becomes lucid at the point you say to yourself, "Wait a minute, this is only a dream. I don't need to be afraid. I can wake up if I want to." If, just to see what will happen, you consciously allow the dream to continue without being afraid, it becomes a lucid dream, and you are in control of your dream's destiny. Another way to become lucid in a dream is to notice the strange dreamlike quality of your ongoing dream experience. If you alert yourself to strange happenings in your dreams, they can become the handle on the door to lucid dreaming. Alert yourself to incongruities in your dream. Notice that cat with two heads. Attempt to assess incongruities critically during the dream, and you may become lucid. Once you become aware that you're dreaming, you must remain constantly alert to prevent losing that awareness. If you relax your awareness, you lose it and fall into ordinary dreaming. On the other hand, when awareness that your dream is too strong, there's a danger that the excitement over the newfound freedom and power will awaken you. You must exercise your will not to become over-emotional and wake, and yet at the same time not become distracted and slip into ordinary dreaming. Flying dreams often precede lucid dreams. In fact, many lucid dreamers have more flying dreams than ordinary dreamers do. Almost all lucid dreamers report dreams of flying, compared to only about 40% of the ordinary dreamers. Induce dreams of flying, and you're on your way to lucid dreaming. Lucid dreamers deliberately increase their frequency of flying dreams and learn new movements to make flying easier and even more pleasurable. When you become conscious during a dream, You can choose to do anything you wish. You can say to yourself, this is a dream and I'm dreaming. Anything is possible. Your dreams become a kind of personal laboratory in which you can deliberately engage in a behavioral rehearsal of skills that you wish to increase in waking life. Anything from perfecting tennis strokes to assertive behavior can be practiced during lucid dreams. Lucid dreams offer an unparalleled opportunity for communication between the waking world and the dream world. It's helpful to decide beforehand what you'll do in a lucid dream. For more detailed information about lucid dreaming, I suggest that you listen to the Audio Renaissance tape, Controlling Your Dreams, by Dr. Stephen LaBerge. The Tibetan yogis of the dream state can teach you yet another aspect of creative dreaming, which enables you to become totally fearless of your most frightening dream images. In a sense, you're the god that creates your dream creatures. You give them life. The yogis say that the awareness of your role as creator of your dream images can become total. Yogis claim to have evolved control to a point where their bodies can enter the physical state of sleep while their minds remain fully conscious. Following death, the yogis believe that there is a state of awareness they call the bardo. During this after-death state, which they think of as a kind of prolonged dream state, the deceased is said to experience terrifying visions. In order to train their disciples to deal with these horrific visions in the after-death state, the yogis teach their disciples to control their dreams while alive. The main theme of these after-death instructions, as with those of controlling dreams, is to abandon fear, to face the images no matter how horrifying, and to go forward. All dream images, those seen in ordinary sleep and those seen during the after-death state, are said to be pictures of the dreamer's thoughts. They're called thought forms. When you recognize them as your thoughts, all fear is lost. The yogi dream teachings include daily concentration upon the idea that dream images come from one's own thoughts. For example, if one dreams of fire, one should transform the fire into water, its opposite. If one dreams of large images, they should be changed into small ones. These exercises are meant to teach the dreamer that all things are illusory and part of a greater unity. We've considered several approaches to consciously influencing the content of a dream. Let's see what the systems of dream control have in common. First, dreams are what you make of them. The initial step in creative dreaming is to regard dreams as important and meaningful aspects of life so that you'll have important and meaningful dreams. The richer your experience of life, the more fascinating material you'll have to draw upon in your dream wandering. Next, you can improve creative dreaming by immersing yourself in a specific subject that you wish to dream about. Pick the topic, put it into a concise phrase such as, tonight I fly, relax your body deeply, repeat your dream phrase, and visualize its fulfillment as you drift off to sleep. Every system advises the dreamer to participate in activities relevant to the desired dream. So, expose yourself to the thing that you wish to dream about. Look at pictures of it. Imagine it. Many systems suggest a serene spot to aid concentration on the subject of the desired dream. Provide yourself with a peaceful and beautiful place. While awake during the day, think about your dream. Think about the cues that you might have used to become aware that you were dreaming. Learn to remember, while dreaming, what you previously intended to do in your dream. Welcome friendly figures into your dreams. And the most important thing to remember during your dream is to be fearless of your dream figures. You can develop the skill of lucid dreaming from brief flashes of awareness to a prolonged dream adventure when you learn to recognize pre-lucid moments in your dreams. All systems use the valuable information they obtain from the dream state. Your behavior after the dream, as well as before and during it, is important. Picture your dream again. Record it in the present tense. Put it into permanent form. Work with your dream. Question dream figures. Treasure your creative dream products. Produce them in waking life. Your dreams can help you to deal with your problems, to learn about yourself, to grow, and to unify your personality. You can change your dream enemies into dream friends, make peace within yourself, devise marvelous creative products to bring to the waking world, and in fact, use your dream symbols to transform yourself. All this and more can be done with ordinary dreaming if you know how. But first, of course, you need to remember your dreams. The best time to begin developing skill in dream recall is in the morning after a natural awakening. As I mentioned at the beginning of the tape, everyone dreams every night. The peaks of dreaming come approximately every 90 minutes and are as short as 10 minutes toward the beginning of our sleep period and as long as a half to three quarters of an hour toward the morning. When you awaken spontaneously in the morning, not by alarm clock or telephone ringing or the kids crying, you're awakening directly from a dream period. Any time that you awaken by yourself during the night, the probability is that you've also awakened from a dream. The morning dream, being the longest, gives you more to catch hold of. Start practicing dream recall by aiming to catch that morning dream. Vacations or weekends or holidays are a good time to begin. One of the main differences researchers have found between people who can recall their dreams easily and often, high dream recallers, and those who seldom and with difficulty recall their dreams, low dream recallers, is a level of self-understanding. When low dream recallers do remember a dream, it's likely to be unpleasant, whereas high dream recallers remember both pleasant and unpleasant dreams. If you are presently a low dream recaller, write down whatever dreams you do remember, no matter how unpleasant. These same frightening dream images can lead you to a very different life space when you know how to use them. When given loving attention, dreams become more detailed, colorful, interesting, informative, and much more relevant to waking life. Dreams not only ebb and flow during the night, but they also change over long periods of time. If your dream memory seems to expand and contract, don't worry. It's just the natural pulse of dreaming. A low level of dream recall is likely to be followed by a high level, and yet the overall base level of dream recall can be pushed up. Dream recall starts before you fall asleep. Get ready to dream. You've picked a time when your schedule permits you to sleep in and get up leisurely. You've determined to accept and value any dream fragment. You know it's possible to improve dream recall and that the amount of dreaming varies naturally. Now, get your dream-catching equipment assembled. If you'll look in the booklet that accompanies this tape under the heading Your Dream-Catching Equipment, you'll find a detailed explanation of the method I use. Please take a moment to read it through now.